is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
Welcome to Wednesday. It's Wednesday. Wednesday's podcast. Just Sarah and I today.
Pretty much. One of us is under the weather. Lise, can you hold up how many fingers? How many hot toddies did you have yesterday?
I had 4 hot toddies.
And how many of the drinks that make your throat better? He's the best of today's show. Please enjoy it.
Those Two Girls.
Hello. Yes, I can confirm I am ready to party. But unfortunately, I can't say the same for Lise, who is sitting beside me, having gone downhill overnight, but still being a trooper and coming into work and sharing her germs right beside Scott and me.
I am here, guys. I just sound like you've called the wrong number, if you get my drift.
Oh, look, she's still got it, even when she's under the weather. What a champion. Hey, Lise, you own a dog. You own a very big dog.
I do. A Great Dane, Sarah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Her name's Minnie.
Yes, I know.
That's good.
And there are so, you're doing so well, okay? There are so many breeds of dogs out there, aren't there? I mean, it's very easy to sort of not be able to keep
track of them.
That's right. Thank you. I just wanted to test your voice and see if you were still with us. Wow. Well, the exact thing has happened to a 27-year-old lady who is from Kuala Lumpur, and she found
she found
a dog on the side of the road and took it in to her apartment to give it a new loving, wonderful home. And that's very honourable.
What a hero.
Okay. The thing is, the other residents in her KL unit were quite shocked when they heard very wild roars and noises coming from her apartment next door.
Yeah.
And when they were out on the street, they looked up and saw a bear with its head out the window. And it seemed to be screaming its heart out. Firstly, they were like, is that old mate just dressed up in a bear suit trying to prank us all here in the block? But no, the lady had actually told authorities when they rocked up to her house to say, you've got a bear in there. Reminds me of something, actually.
Mm. There's a bear in there.
What a show.
That she said, I thought it was a dog.
She mistook a sun bear for a dog.
The thing is, it was a sun bear, not a little grizzly bear, which happened to a Chinese family last year. They thought their puppy was just a big black dog and it turned into a grizzly bear. This actually was a sun bear. So if you're not familiar with a sun bear, they stand upright all the time and they've got a giant sun on their belly. And I've never seen that pattern on a dog.
But they also have huge claws.
Huge claws.
The sun bears.
Yes.
So
look, I think she just had her blinkers on and thought, this will be a nice existence for us. It'll be very nice.
I mean, Sarah, you know that I can't tell the difference between a goat or a lamb or a sheep. I don't even know what those animals are. So I feel this lady shouldn't be raked over the coals because some of us don't know our animals that well.
Well, no, true. The other day I was driving and I was going through bushland and I saw a huge Alsatian in the bush. I mean, it was bigger than anything I'd ever seen. And as I approached closer, I realised it was a rock. It was a great big rock with moss growing on it. But I would have taken that rock home and
Did
said, please, meet my Alsatian.
On?
No. Even though there's physically a third person with us, Lise is very under the weather. And I've got to say, Scott, I know it's early into the show, but I really do miss her booming voice, heckling
me. That's the thing. Yeah. When I lose my voice, that's it.
Darling, don't push yourself. Just stop. We want you better. Have we got something
talking.
We can do,
yeah,
Scott?
Let's. Can we go back to a better time when Lise could talk?
Could we?
Online reviews, Sarah, they're a useful thing. You know, when you want to try a new restaurant, perhaps a new, I don't know, a new bar or whatever, I often jump on and read the reviews that have been left for that particular place.
Yes, it's funny. I never write reviews.
Oh, I would never write
one. But I appreciate the efforts other people who've gone before me have taken to pass on their opinion and thoughts.
That's right. Now, Google obviously do their own reviews of places, and I kind of fell into a black hole of Google reviews for local police stations because I just thought, I wonder if people would review a local cop shop or a correctional facility or the like. Would there be anything? And let me tell you, have we found some, haven't we? I've dragged you into the black hole with me. Shall I read out
please
the first
do,
one?
Please
I
do.
I won't disclose which police station they're from. I'll just say that they're here in Australia. Okay, this one has said, police officers here are friendly and very good at their jobs. Okay, that's good. It's 5-star. But then it goes on to say, reception staff are like that slug from Monsters, Inc. Unhelpful.
That's very descriptive.
Unhelpful and assumes you're a criminal. I mean, very descriptive. That slug from Monsters, Inc. was the star of the show. So I like that review. I've also got one here that says, I run a donut delivery business and these guys owe me hundreds and threatened to give me the bash when I demanded they pay up. So I'm giving them 1-star. Then there's an update. I'm sorry about what I said. They're all very nice and they definitely didn't bash me. And this statement was 100% not made under duress. AFP, if you read this, please help.
I've got one here. Wow. I was a guest at this bed and breakfast in 2001. Not the most welcoming place I've ever visited. Both the bed and the breakfast were well under par, and why my bottom needed to be inspected before I was offered my lovely jumpsuit and plastic sandals is beyond me. I shan't return 1-star. And there's another one here that's just one line. Security is top notch.
I mean, you've got to give people credit where credit is due. There are some amazingly creative people online.
I mean, look at that. Hang on, wait a minute. Quaint historic hostel in a convenient location with past days ambience. Lovely viewing towers ensure a welcoming feel, and the private inner gardens offer uninterrupted views through quaint rustic chain link fences. Rooms are best described as European, though security is first rate. Mm, beautiful. Such command of the English language.
Really? Yeah.
And for a wonderful purpose.
You're welcome, Australia. That's all I'm going to leave you
I'm
with.
I'm still scrolling.
I know. I'm telling you. It's a rabbit hole, Sarah.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Yesterday I was sitting at a local cafe and I was enjoying my mug of cappuccino and my toast. And one of the school mums rocked up as well. She had her two boys with her and she was dropping one off to an appointment. And then the second little lad was feeling a bit under the weather. So they'd gone into the building next door. And the next minute I saw her reef her boy out. He was, I think he's 5. And she said, the drain, go. And he went to the drain and he hurled his guts up over the drain. And I know that sounds like a terrible story, but it's wonderful. So I looked at my friend and I said, oh my God, you've done it. Your youngest child can now vomit exactly where you tell him to. How do you feel? And she was like, look, this is a moment. And we looked at each other and we had a moment of motherhood or parental solidarity. Because there's a whole host of parenting milestones that happen to kids that aren't in the books.
Yeah, no one cares when they have a tooth or no, their first haircut.
That's right.
That doesn't
you know,
count.
It's all about when you can give them pureed sweet potato or when they take their first steps. Sure, that stuff's important. But there are parenting milestones out there that should be in the books because they truly need to be celebrated. And I'm telling you, when your kid can vomit in a bucket or vomit down a drain or vomit in the toilet, that is one that has to be
absolutely
in the top 5.
I have another one, Sarah, when you don't have to push the swing at the park anymore.
Yes.
And they can use their legs.
Yes.
For momentum.
Yes.
I said to my kids, God gave you legs. Bloody use them.
Yes.
It's time now. You're 2.
I've
No, they don't start swinging themselves until they're
like
4 and a half or 5.
Yeah. Well, over the weekend, I think I hit another joyous parenting milestone where my 8-year-old made me a cup of coffee all by herself.
I can trump that.
What?
I can trump it.
What?
I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
When your 9-and-a-half-year-old can order a takeaway coffee for you.
Wow. See?
Can you guys bring your eldest kids in the morning? Stuff going on here.
And just get it done. I mean, I would also add, I mean, I don't want to steal everyone's thunder here, but when your kid can do their seatbelt up.
Oh.
I mean, it's a total game changer. So let's open the phones here on 131060 and let's celebrate the parenting milestones that should be in the books. So phones are open 131060. What milestone did you celebrate with your child, Liam, that wasn't in the kid books?
cutting the chicken schnitzel.
I mean, talk me through the moment your child could cut their own schnitty.
Well, sort of serving up chicken schnitzel one night for dinner and sort of thought, oh, whoops, she's a big girl now. She's 7, so we'll put the knife down and see how she goes and just cut through it like any normal person. So
wow.
I thought, you beauty, don't have to cut that anymore.
That's right. Amazing. It's a tough meat to get through. And maybe, Liam, you thought, oh, I could have given her this knife years ago if she was able to do it with such ease.
Yeah, I thought that. Yeah. I should give it to a while ago.
Liam, you know what? I had chicken schnitzel last night, and you know what I did? I cut it up with scissors.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
No, but think about it. Think about it. I held it with a pair of tongs, and I sliced it while it was on the pan, and then I dished it up.
Well, next challenge for Liam: scissors at the dinner table.
Are you trying to outdo Liam's 7-year-old daughter?
I'm just sharing. Is that what's happening right
now? Don't enter into a competition with a child, especially when you sound like that. Just. We've got you in here for a reason, to let people know you're present, but don't talk.
Oh, yeah, good advice, Liam. Yeah. But you know what? At age 35, I was cutting with scissors. Yeah. So tell your 7-year-old daughter that.
Can you cut your schnitty with scissors? Jason on 131060, what parenting milestone wasn't in the books that you've celebrated?
Well, I haven't actually celebrated it yet, but trying to get my daughter to mow the lawn without leaving lines.
How old is she, Jason?
She's only 7. She's nearly turning 8, but she gets on the push mower and she wants to do it herself. You can't help her, and yeah, you look back and yeah, there's lines left. You got to go back and fix it.
I mean, look, Jason, is it here that I confess I've never mowed a lawn in my life?
Are you surprised, Jason? Are you surprised that Sarah hasn't mowed a lawn?
Yeah, well, my daughter, she does 5 minutes of mowing and then wants $5 and she leaves at least 5 lines. So.
Oh, that sounds like a fair transaction. Yeah. Good on you, Jason. Hey, Brody on 131060, what parenting milestone wasn't in the books that you've celebrated?
You there, Brody?
Yeah, mate. Yep.
Okay, what milestone has your kid done that you've celebrated and it should have been in a book?
Well, I've got a 6-year-old daughter.
Yep.
And for the last 6 months, she's been able to make her own breakfast.
Oh.
But not only does she make her own breakfast, we've also got a 2-year-old daughter and she makes her breakfast.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, it's a game changer, isn't it, Brody? Because you can be in having a little snooze in bed or going out and doing some gardening and you've got the kids sorted. They can feed themselves.
Yeah, and then she'll get herself dressed and ready for school. So it's awesome.
I mean, you're doing well. See, this is what I mean. There needs to be a book written of parenting milestones that should be celebrated.
Brody's
because I'm telling you, mowing the lawn, getting yourself dressed and breakfast made when you're only 6, that's pretty special.
That's great parenting.
And cutting your own chicken schnitzel knife or with scissors. I mean,
that's why I subscribe to the form of parenting that is let them experiment. Tomahawks are welcome in my home, Sarah.
Okay, for people who are just tuning in, that will make no sense at all.
The fever is back.
Yeah, sorry. She's delusional. You can hear she's not well. Ignore everything that she's saying. Scott, good grief. Those poor kids.
Those poor children.
Kids. With Lisa just giving them a tomahawk for no reason.
Those two girls. You know, you can jump online, follow us anytime at Lise and Sarah on Instagram, where you can see Lise in studio, despite the fact you could barely hear her. Good to have you here, mate.
It is annoying. I'm sorry, guys. This is the best I'm going to sound.
Yeah, radio is such a fantastic medium for you today. You know how there are jobs that are floating about that seem to have a very senior title or a misleading title attached to them? For example, you know, I had a friend whose job title was Senior Client Liaison Officer, and she was a receptionist, a front desk receptionist.
Amazing.
Okay, so they really upgrade the title, I think, to get away with kind of paltry pay levels, okay? Now, there's a lot of attention that's being drawn to an ad that's posted online for Radisson Red. Now, this is a hotel chain that has said, we don't have staff, we have creatives.
Ooh. I'm already applying.
Let me just, well, that's right.
That
this seems
good.
To appeal, doesn't it?
Yes.
When you're a left brain person, I love a bit of creativity.
Member.
No.
I am a creative.
So the job ad begins. We connect with that ageless millennial mindset and believe that hotels can enhance their world via art, music, fashion, and a distinctive connection. Radisson Red sees things differently. We don't have staff, we have creatives. Okay, that's nice.
Also,
I'm hooked.
How can the millennial mindset be ageless when it's
quite sure.
only existed for 20 years?
That's right. So the tasks that you will do as a creative include the following. Throughout the hotel, you make it clean, cook on the stove, serve the coffees, shake the cocktails, book tours, make reservations and check guests. Always laughing with guests, playing the odd game and even a little bit of mischief now and again.
Oh no!
That's generally okay, but at Red, we demand it. Okay? Communicate with fellow creatives constantly. Offer ideas, make suggestions for the benefit of the guests, the venue and your colleagues. Deliver to our service standards. They're our foundation, always up to date. And please attach a selfie and an Instagram link to ensure that you are ready to welcome the world to the Red side. I mean, this is a food and drink beverage. This is a food and beverage attendant. This is the job. And they're masking it as creatives. Well, understandably, this was posted to Twitter and it's just blown up with people writing comments like, I've never been more grateful to actually be employed at the moment. I would rather work in salt mines than take on this job.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I mean, it's ridiculous. Don't you think companies have to stop this kind of upselling of job titles for pretty standard tasks?
But maybe it'd be great fun working there.
But they're selling the job as something creative.
But
it literally says, you make it clean, cook on the stoves, serve the coffees. I mean, it's like if you have a cleaner, you can say, sorry, my creative is coming today.
But it does say that they demand cheekiness. That's great. Sign me up. Maybe it's great. Maybe it's a great job. Maybe they're turning being a cook and a barista on its head, Sarah.
I liked it better when you didn't speak during the show. Why are you piping up now in the last 30 seconds?
Can I tell you guys an experience I'm aware of?
Yeah.
A radio show that was sold on being an early breakfast show when they were like overnight mid-dawn show. I mean, the people involved lapped it up. Said,
that's
we're
so
in.
True.
We'd love it.
Yes.
Early breakfast.
This isn't mid-dawn. This is early breakfast. Get it right. Well, Lise, maybe you'll be better tomorrow. Maybe you won't. One of life's great mysteries, you'll find out in 23 hours.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
I mean, good show. Fun show.
Good show.
Could you imagine going to the induction for that job ad that you read out? Could you imagine what the induction would be like?
Oh, God. There'd be so much audience participation kind of activity.
Oh, yes.
They'll attract the type of kids who are expecting it to be, you know, fun and not much work. So they won't actually get good
candidates. It sounds
like
a hell of a lot of work. Bloody hell.
Not really.
Yeah. Heaps. Got to do so many different jobs. I'd hate that. I just like sitting in one position. And talking. That's it.
With a cafe latte.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Cappuccino.
Kappa.
Thank you.
A little kappa. all right, I know we've all got stuff to do. We should bail out of here, and Lise, you need to protect your voice. So let's go.
Okay.
Love you all.
Bye.
Bye.
Tickety boo. Off she goes home. That's it for today's Those Two Girls Catch Up. But you can score even more catch ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.